Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Hello, back after a nice weekend, which they never seem long enough when you are coming in on a Monday and you're like, just a little bit more.
I know.
Just a little bit more. But I saw that there are some teachers that are starting to head back to the classrooms to start planning. So it's just, I'm so fascinated how this beginning of the school year is going to go.
Yeah.
Because anyway, that's a whole nother rabbit hole that we could go down.
I know.
But coming up in this podcast, though, we do have two guests we're going to have on today on very different spectrums of the world.
Yes.
We're going to have, and you know the voice, Joey Fatone.
Yeah.
Formerly of NSYNC, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, a bunch of different reality shows. He's going to be on with us to chat about this new show he has coming on Fox 13 that's going to be debuting for like a limited 4-week run around the country.
Oh.
Just sort of doing like a little test run.
And we get to see it.
Exactly. So we're going to chat with him about it, and then we get to talk to Dr. Upshaw from NeuroSpa TMS.
Yes.
About, do we know what the topic is this week, Holly?
We do, but not right off the top of my head right
now. Okay, well, when we get him on the phone. So we're waiting for Joey Fatone to call in. But I'm so curious when it comes to someone like Joey Fatone. And I think from what I've seen of him, I think this is him on the phone now.
Oh, yeah, flashing.
That was quick. Well, I was going to say, should I ask this question, but we'll just go with it.
Oh, dear.
It's Hot 101.5.
Oh, good morning. It's Art. I'm going to have Joey for you. You ready for him?
We are.
Are you taping it or live?
We are taping.
Okay, sounds good. Hang on, okay? Thanks, man.
Uh-huh. Wow, so professional. Are you nervous, Holly?
No, I'm okay.
Scott, do you know who NSYNC is?
Oh my gosh. Now I'm stressed out.
Don't be stressed out. Do, 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 do.
P.S. Upshaw's topic is going to be, what does diet have to do with mental health?
Oh, nice. Oh,
that's gosh.
That's a good one.
Oh, I can tell you right now. I know where my attitude is right now and what I'm eating, so.
Hello?
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 Is this Joey Fatone?
It is.
Hey!
Right!
Hey, Joey.
How's it going?
Good.
Well, welcome. My name is Miguel. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hello and good morning.
And that's our producer, Scott Tavlin. Well, Joey, we are super excited about your show that you have coming up. And I found this particularly interesting. I'm going to let you describe what the show is about because I feel like there's one person on our show that would fail miserably at this new show you have coming up.
This is so exciting.
So I want you to kind of walk through what can people expect from Common Knowledge, which is going to be actually on Fox 13 at midnight.
Yeah.
What's the show about?
Yeah, it's basically a show that asks those practical, everyday questions that everyone should know. It's basically you get two teams of three, and we, you know, ask them simple questions. Well, we like to think that they're simple questions. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, we can ask you, what about this one? According to the Confectionery News, which chocolate candy do Americans buy more of? Is it Snickers, M&M's, or Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bar?
All right, let's see here. Holly.
Yeah.
What is your guess?
Okay, oh my gosh. My guess is M&M's.
Scott?
Hershey's. I love Hershey's.
Miguel, what do you think?
I'm going to say, yeah, I would actually go with Scott here. Hershey Kisses.
It's actually M&M's.
Ah!
Yeah, damn.
I knew I was smarter than you guys.
Whoa, whoa. That's just one.
I'm sorry, but that basically confirms it. Like, I don't. Hello?
Wow. So I know on, as I was doing some research about the show, another, I guess, question that you all have asked is, what should you do when you have a fever? Mm. Or how can you tell if a watermelon is ripe?
Oh, I'll tell you how to do a watermelon.
Ripe.
What? What? Scotty's got ripe watermelon tips,
I do.
Apparently.
I'm good at picking watermelons.
All right. I love it.
How do you know, then? How do you know?
I go up to the thing, and I give it a good old pat, and I hear if it's hollow. And if it has a nice dark green color and you hit it and it sounds hollow, it's a nice juicy watermelon.
It sounds hollow?
You got to slap it. You got to slap the watermelon.
Joey?
If I could tell how many times I've slapped watermelons in my day. Anyway, with the watermelon, believe it or not, it's the lightness on the bottom, because what happens is, think about it, they get heavier and they sit there longer, and underneath it, it becomes like a yellow, a lighter green. So look for the dead spot sitting down, basically. There's a couple little things to look for. I think thumping is actually one of them as well.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I think
you're
right.
I'll do both now. I'll look for the nice spot.
Yeah,
you've got to
look for a nice yellow spot underneath. I saw a meme about that one. Yo,
yellow,
I should go on this.
It, because that's where it's sitting, correct.
Oh.
This is awesome.
You want to put that back, but for watermelons, you want the spot.
Got it.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, okay, I find this so fascinating because, you know, in our, you know, everyday lives, I feel like as a celebrity, and you've been in the limelight for a very long time,
right,
that I would assume that, like, you have somebody that does a lot of this stuff for you that you wouldn't know. So do you have to do research before you come with these questions, or how does that work?
Thank the Lord I don't have to come up with research. The game show network and the gaming people come up with all the questions. I just have to read them, because if I try to do some research on that, and it's a lot, because they're literally going through, you know, different things on, like, you know, as far as, the you know, the social media, the computers, you know, doctor's books and all this other stuff. So looking through different things. But, you know, I'm not the greatest on it. I've been quizzed a few times. I probably fail miserably on this show. But there are many times that I do know the answers, and it's always funny to watch, because I'm literally playing along as they are. I really don't know the answers per se, but when I know the actual answer, I'm like, oh, I'm excited. And then when the person gets it wrong, I'm like, oh my gosh, no. You know, on the win. They win $10,000. It's not, they're not going to break the bank or anything, but you win some money. And it's kind of, you know, again, it's fun because, you know, these families are, they're usually friends or families, and sometimes they'll take the money and donate to charity, or they'll go on a family vacation or something like that. So again, it's all in good fun. It's a family fun kind of game. Again, like I said, you win $10,000 if you make it to the final round, which, you know, everybody, at least one team does, but they never really, not everybody makes it to win the $10,000, because again, some people don't have common knowledge.
I love it.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and you can watch the show Common Knowledge here in Tampa on Fox 13 at midnight.
Right.
Real quick,
yes.
I'm super curious on, because I feel like obviously the elephant in the room is we're dealing with COVID-19 and everybody is figuring out how to deal with it in their own way. How are you doing with it?
How have you been?
Just taking one day at a time. Believe it or not, people are always like, oh my gosh, you're losing your mind. You've been in your house. You know, I mean, when it first really hit, obviously we were really, everybody was kind of hunkered down, you know,
mm-hmm.
really, really locked in. And for me, it was a little different, because when I do work, I'm usually I live in Orlando, obviously, and I usually travel to LA, or I'll travel to New York and do things when I'm working. When I'm home, I'm actually home. I spend time with my kids. I actually just do normal day-to-day stuff when I'm home. So even though the pandemic, everybody was all locked in, I didn't mind it, because I'm usually home anyway.
Oh.
So it wasn't as bad for me as I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta get out of the house. But there are itches that I get, of course. I mean, I miss definitely going to restaurants all the time. You know, I like going out. I'm a social butterfly, so I like doing things. But also now it's giving me the kind of chance to kind of sit back. And if you want to hear something really silly that I'm doing right now, because I want to punch Cheryl Burke in the face. Cheryl from Dance with the Stars, she was on my show that I host called What Does Joey Know? And she sent me this gem jewel painting. I don't know what these little gems you're supposed to stick on the, like, a canvas.
Yes, oh. And it's supposed to take up, like, a lot of time, and it's, like, very crafty, artsy-craftsy.
Holy cow, it's a pain in the butt.
Oh.
It is crazy, and I started it like an idiot, and I go, I guess I got to finish this, and there are thousands and thousands of little gems.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here, I'm not kidding you. I took a break from it, but it's taken me now, I'm on day 3,
and I still haven't finished it yet.
Okay, well, see, I was actually looking at getting one of those. No. I think I might not now. I think I might
not. It is not. I mean, I'll tell you, it is a little therapeutic. I ain't going to lie. It's actually kind of nice. It is definitely therapeutic, but I will say, it's not easy.
No.
It's driving me crazy because now I got to finish it, like I said. And I got, all of a sudden I'll be sleeping, and all of a sudden I'll scratch my butt or something, and then all of a sudden I got like a little jewel stuck to my butt. I mean, I got jewels everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
I love it.
I love it.
Before we let you go, Joey.
Here's a little common knowledge for you there.
Yeah. Please believe I'll be tucking that one away to pull out at a party at some point.
Please do.
What are some recommendations you have? Is there anything that you're binge watching? Any movies or TV shows that you're like, this is my obsession?
I think we all watched the stupid show, which you can't help but watch. And now I want to do the show just to be on it, just to do it. Is The Floor is Lava?
Oh yeah, yeah. It started out with the easiest concept, yeah. And then you're like, why am I so invested?
I know, and you're intrigued. The other one is Nunmore, Warrior Nun.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good show. I like that show.
That was so good. I love that.
Miguel put his stamp of approval on that one.
I did, yeah. I'm a big binge watcher, so that I was all about me some Warrior Nun. That is so good. Did you ever watch?
I got to watch, what is it, the Umbrella Project or something like that? What's the one that just came back out on Friday? Came out.
The Umbrella Academy. I actually have one more episode left because I did nothing.
That's right.
Wait, you watched the whole season?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got one episode left.
Wow.
That's about right. That's par for the course.
Oh, I love it. Well, Joey Fatone, thank you so much for calling us and letting us know about your show, Common Knowledge, on Fox 13.
Oh, wow. Please, check it out. We have it on Game Show Network, but it's also, of course, it's going to be on the Fox station. Check it out. Let me know if you guys love it. And if you do, hopefully it'll get syndicated and people can watch it more.
Absolutely. Awesome. And hey, if you're ever in Tampa once COVID stuff is over with, we would love to have you in studio.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, love to. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, good luck and we'll see you on Fox 13.
All right. Thank you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Well, he was so cool and funny.
He seemed like a normal guy. I just felt like that's what I knew would happen. Zero parts of me were like, oh my God, insane. I didn't even want to bring it up. I just was like, I know Joey Fatone is this individual person who does stuff. This is cool.
Do you feel like he and like Justin Timberlake live in like two different worlds? Where like I feel like you could see Joey Fatone at Publix slapping some watermelons to see. Whereas like Justin Timberlake has a watermelon person to go for him or he gets a deliver that he's just like, I can't be bothered. Yeah. Not in like a mean way, but like he just, it's too much for him.
Yes. 100% two different worlds. I mean, just think about it, first of all. I know that Justin Timberlake, doesn't he live in Nashville?
I think so.
I think he, or maybe he
lives. Actually, no, he does. He does. He does. I remember seeing an Instagram post
about it. So neither one of them are like Hollywood guys, you know, but I still feel like there is this air of like, too big celebrity to talk to the common folks with Justin Timberlake.
Right.
Whereas like Joey Fatone lives over across I-4 and you could legit run into him at the Publix.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just different.
And he also seems like that person in your friend group that always has like, here's a stupid joke I found on the internet yesterday. Yeah, and he's just like, ha, ha, ha.
Everybody needs one of those. And that's who Joey Fatone is. Maybe for NSYNC too. I don't know.
That's really fascinating to me about, you know, how celebrities deal with that fame and how, you know, I mean, this guy right here was, you know, you could not walk anywhere without not hearing or seeing about NSYNC, you know, 20 years ago.
I can't imagine. Like, and he's talking about how he's like hanging out with his kids.
Yeah.
I didn't do the research. I don't know how old his kids are. But like, could you imagine, like, Joey Fatone is your dad, you're just like, oh, he did this, like, boy band thing.
Right.
Like, I can't fathom that, because I was that demo, right? Mm-hmm. So I was, like, you know, 16, 17, 18, the quintessential teen girl that was in love with these boy bands.
Oh, my gosh.
And I can't, that's why it's almost like a disconnect, where I'm like, I'm an adult now, and I see him as an adult now, and, like, we're two adults, and I can appreciate where I was when that came out, but it's different. And so life is weird, man.
Weird.
It is. I've said this so many times on the podcast before, but it truly is. getting older and seeing the people, like the celebrities around you. There was something I was watching this weekend, and I wish I could remember, where it had some people that are sort of our age, Holly, that were sort of like a Joey Fatone that was like young back in the day.
Yeah.
And you see them now, and I hate saying they look older, but they just, they've grown older.
We are older.
Right, it is. And so they are the adult now.
Yeah.
And, oh, I know what it was. I'm so dumb. It wasn't a celebrity. It was, I was at my barber shop, and one of the barbers there, I thought he was a little bit older, but he's actually my age.
Oh.
And his kids were there, and he was cutting his kids' hair for the weekend. And one of his kids is like 17, about to turn 18. And I was like, wait. So first off, we're the same age, and you have three kids. He had obviously his son when he was a lot younger. Mm-hmm. But, like, thinking of the responsibility that you've had to go through this entire time and how, like, you are the dad to an adult. Like, that just, like, blew my mind that, like, we're the same age. I just feel like I keep having these revelations of you are about to be 35. Like, you are the adult. You're supposed to, like, know what the fuck is going on or, like, how to do stuff.
Well, you don't, even after that. But the good news is that I feel like in your late 30s and maybe early 40s, hopefully, that's where a lot of revelations do come.
Right.
Because, and I give myself, I was just having a conversation with my friend Julie because I was like, I'm in this period right now of going through some sadness and regret and I guess those are the two main emotions. When I look back on that first, like, couple years of when my daughter was born.
Mm.
Because, and I mean, I was 30 when she was born. So it's not like I had her young.
Right.
I mean, I thought that I was, like, had my ish together and everything was fine. But unless you actually take steps to learn who you are and, like, you know, walk this path of discovery and self-discovery and heal your wounds and your traumas and all that stuff, which obviously I didn't even hear about doing that when I was, you know, in my 20s. But I'm looking back now, but it's hard because I do understand I cannot use the measuring stick of my knowledge now
mm-hmm.
and apply it to then
because
I didn't have it then.
Right.
But that's sort of the heartbreaking part about the awareness that you garner over the years.
Mm.
It's like you didn't have the capacity to know or understand or learn whatever it is in life early on. My hope is that, like, for me in my late 30s and early 40s, I hope to get more knowledge, get more of that life knowledge that I can apply it to my life and make better choices. But I think that's where it happens for a lot of people. I mean, some people it doesn't happen until their 50s or 60s.
Right.
But hopefully, and this is good because you're young enough that you're having these revelations and you can start taking steps to make life better for yourself.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's one of the things that Abe, my boyfriend, and I were talking about this weekend because unbeknownst to me, normally he does not listen to the podcast. But on his drive down to Tampa from Buffalo, he listened to the past two podcasts where we talked about marriage and babies. And he was like, so.
They always find the worst ones.
Yep.
You ever notice that?
Every time.
You ever notice that if there's ever a podcast that you don't want your significant other to hear necessarily, and you're like, whatever, they don't normally listen.
No.
They gonna sniff it out.
I was like, How did you listen to those two podcasts where I was like, well, let's just have this discussion because I know he's not going to listen.
Murphy's Law.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
And so we were just talking about the future and about what does it look like when it comes to kids and marriage and combining. Ooh. I mean, it's a lot of heavy stuff, but it's like if you don't have those conversations, then everybody's left with a big question mark.
And life doesn't move forward.
Because
then you just stuck in the non-talking about it moment.
Right. And that's, I feel like, one of the weird parts about this age is, you know, when you're in your 20s and they're like, oh, you should save and you should do your 401k and do all these things. But really, like, you have time to sort of goof around. But, like, now is the time, like, the decisions you make right now in your 30s will affect what your 50s and 60s look like.
It's true.
So you kind of have to start setting that up. And it's sort of intimidating sometimes. I'm like, am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the right things? And I feel like I've been having a lot of those conversations with friends that are in this age group where they're like, all right, is this the career that I want to be in until I retire? Is there something else that I want to do? What is it going to look like? Oh. Because so many industries right now with COVID have sort of accelerated what would have taken 10 or 15 years to happen. I mean, look at if you thought, ooh, I want to go into, I want to be a manager, a regional manager of a movie theater chain.
Oh.
Yeah.
They have not opened since March. And they have to... Like, they will not look the same when we come back.
No.
And that's something that, you know, and because I read, like, the entertainment trades, not just, like, celebrity gossip, but, like, where the entertainment industry is going. And they're like, we were thinking this would be a conversation in, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
Not now.
But here we are.
Right.
A forced conversation.
Right.
And which, as a quick, really quick aside, I miss going to the movies.
Oh, so do I.
I just miss it.
Like, just...
It's cool that we open all the schools, but we can't go to the movies.
That's what's weird about this thing with what's opening and what's not opening. It's like, it just, at this point, everyone, literally, I have friends all over the country that are like, what are y'all doing? I'm like, I don't know. Some things are open, some things aren't. Like, everything else is open, but this bar and restaurant isn't open.
It's kind of like what's open roulette. Like, I don't know. Does it make sense? And then, like, there was that, you know, I think that voting will be fine come November, but it's like, you know, there was the potential of, well, should we move the election? I'm like, I'm sorry, but hold on. Everybody hold on. If my child can go sit in a school all day, every day, pretty sure we can vote for one day.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but crazy. I'm pretty sure we could do it.
I mean, can we just talk about this for a second? And, like, I wanted to shy away from politics for
a few weeks. Because it's so controversial. And, like, immediately, and it's like people assume even what you think. They think you're saying.
Right. And it's like, I am fearful. I am so fearful for our republic and what it's going to look like. Because I don't think we're not going to wake up November 4th, because I think the election is November 3rd.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to know.
Three months.
I don't think we're going to know who the president is. I think that because of mail-in ballots, depending upon the state, because some it has to be postmarked the day of, so that means you have to wait for them to come in, and then the Postal Service is going slow right now.
The Postal Service, that's a whole other mess.
Right, and I just feel like there's so many contentious things that are happening that we are about to reach a boiling point, and I feel like sometime between the beginning of November and whenever in the inauguration, January, whatever, like, it's going to be scary. And I don't mean, and I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this, you know, being like, oh, haha, this
you're
is crazy.
Like a, you're not like a an alarmist.
No, I just, for me, as Miguel Fuller, I am scared. From what I've been seeing online and just the vitriol, it just scares me right now that we are in this pressure cooker of all of these different circumstances of people not having money, being sick. It feels like, from my perspective, and yes, I'm a liberal and I do read liberal publications, that I feel like that there is some darkness happening behind the scenes that is making things very weird and making our atmosphere weird when it comes to voting. I'm just fearful that we're in this pressure cooker that's just going, the top is going to pop. And I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know how to be prepared for it. And let me tell you, this is how much this is freaking me out. This morning, I woke up and my alarm went off, and I laid there in the bed for about 3 minutes. And then all of a sudden, my ceiling fan, like, flickered off, and then it came back on, and it flickered off when it came back on. And then all of a sudden, it was, like, everything in the house powered down. And I was like, oh, we lost power.
Oh.
So.
Did a squirrel hit the line?
I know, right? I was like, what happened? So I get up, and immediately, because we live in Florida, like, it's hot in the house as soon as the air conditioner's not blowing or the ceiling fan's not going. So I wake up, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see. Is there bad weather outside? Like, what's going on? And I don't know what it was, but there was something in me that said, like, what if this is like whatever is going to happen is happening. Like, I don't know if it's some uprising, if it's whatever it is. And then I thought for a faint second, I heard the siren that if there's like a, you know, like the ones they play, like a tornado or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah, were you half asleep? Like,
I thought I was awake by this point, but I thought I heard it faintly. And then I looked out my window and it was like pitch black. And literally for about 20 seconds, I was like, okay, we need to put our shoes on. We need to get stuff in the car. Like, I don't know where we're going. Does the power work? Are the phone lines working? Do we need to call my mom? How is she doing? Like, that's where my mind went.
But isn't because, that crazy?
But that's how, like, fearful I am of what's happening in our country right now. Is my mind didn't go, oh, okay, well, how do I take a shower? Like, you know, let me get ready for work in the dark. I was like, we need to start packing some shit and go.
Yeah. Where are you going to go?
I don't know. I don't know.
You better have a plan because then you're going to be sitting on, you know, 75 going nowhere.
Well, that's what always scares me is in those movies, you know, when you have the little telltale signs of like something happening, you know, you sort of sending the canary down into the cave, you know, and you want to know, you want to make sure that you're not one of those people that's like, oh, girl, the sewer popping up. That's nothing. That's just, it's hot outside.
Right.
Meanwhile, the fucking monster's coming in from the Gulf of Mexico. And we're all like, ooh, we're at the new pier. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
I want to be the person that's like already gunning it to Nebraska to find some land. Mm. So I just, I don't know what the plan is. And I don't know. I'm just scared.
Well, that's, and just before, during the show earlier today, off mic, I mentioned that it's like all of this fear that overtook America with the pandemic in the early months. Mm-hmm. So like March, April, when nobody knew anything and it was just this amorphous virus and we were scared.
Right.
That was a very palpable feeling. I remember feeling it and thinking, well, I know how to do my job really well, so I'm going to just focus on that.
Right.
And that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like all of that collective fear has been sitting inside this whole time and just going online and reading just fake ass nonsense. Mm. And it has turned into anger. And now we're just angry.
Yeah.
And it's uncalled for a lot of the time.
Right.
And it is dangerous because that leads to mob mentalities, which there's no logic when that happens. Like people, yes, when people are scared, one individual thing, I think they said this in Men in Black. I think I got this.
Mm.
Like a mob of people is panicky and stupid and, you know, trigger happy. But an individual person, if they feel fear, they're like, okay, let me get some facts together.
Right.
In a mob of now angry people, ain't nobody fact checking anything.
No, you hype each other up.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's what I fear. I fear this anger that is just sitting in the collective.
Well, and what it reminds me of is, you know, I've talked a lot about the show Outlander. Well, I've been like reading or been listening to the audiobook on my bike rides, and there was one scene in particular that, you know, it was a really quick scene in the TV show, but in the book they go a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
Where there was a kid who like stole a piece of bread or something, and this takes place in Scotland in the 1740s. And so for his punishment, they like nail his ear to like a post in like the town square.
Ugh.
And so he's nailed to it, but he's got to get it off himself.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Right.
I can't.
And so Claire, the woman who comes from the 1940s to the 1740s, she's like, how barbaric is this? And there are, like, people around, like, cheering it on. And she's like, why is no one helping this boy? Like, he made an innocent mistake, and now his ear is going to be maimed for the rest of his life. But I'm thinking, what about now? Will we look back in 50 years and go, we were so barbaric? Like, what the fuck were we thinking back then? And that, like, I literally paused it and I thought, what are we doing right now? Or for my own self, because I like to, you know, make sure that I'm taking personal responsibility. What am I doing right now that I'm going to look back at in 50 years and be like, Miguel, you should be ashamed of yourself. How were you doing this? What are we doing right now that we're going to look at it like that?
There's always stuff.
It's a scary time right now.
Yeah.
Holly.
Hey.
Let's get Dr. Upshaw.
Woo! All right, Mindful Monday.
Right? Did you send his information over?
He's in the calendar invite.
I'll get him.
It's in. Okay. It's in there. The right. Phone number.
Scott's gonna get him on the phone.
Do you have it in your email, Scott? Okay. So today, and we talked to Dr. Nate Upshaw, who works with NeuroSpot TMS. I went to NeuroSpot TMS to have the electromagnetic pulses, by your brain. It helps depression and anxiety. Basically, like, your brain gets knocked out of whack through depression, and this sends magnetic pulses to help your brain get back on a normal track so you're not in a loop of depression. And it's been so beneficial for me, and I've loved it. So obviously I endorse the business on the radio, but also I would consider myself friends with Dr. Upshaw.
Yeah.
I have a huge yearning to know things about the brain. Like, I like to know the why. And so he's been super helpful to me just explaining how everything works. And then we figured let's have him come on at least once a week during the pandemic as we handle this, because collectively we're all going through a lot of stress that can lead to depression or anxiety, mental issues like that. So every Monday we've had him on for the past summer. And so there's different topics every week. And this week's topic is what diet has to do with mental health.
Is he on?
No, he didn't answer. I'm sure he's going to answer in like the next couple minutes, but I'm sure he has something to do before.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
All right. Well, that's fine. One of the things that I do want to talk to him about, because I feel like I was doing so well like towards the beginning of the pandemic, and then right around June, I feel like the dam broke, and I've just been eating all the stuff that for 2.5 years that I was able to say, all right, no, because I don't ever like to just say, oh, you'll never have a donut again, or you'll never had a hamburger, french fries again.
That's not even healthy to do, because that is deprivation, and your body doesn't deal well with that.
Right, and so I was like, all right, on a Saturday or a Sunday, whatever, you get to do, eat whatever you want. But now I noticed that it'll be a Monday, and I'll be like, well, it's Monday, so let me just slide on through the drive-thru real quick. It's Tuesday.
Oh, you're like, well, the day of the weekend's in Y, so we're going to do that.
But I do notice that I've been so more tired than normal, and I just feel exhausted all the time. And I'm wondering, how is that affecting me mentally with the things that I'm eating?
I think that what we need to do, and this is what it's helpful to talk to people like Dr. Upshaw, because we know already that what you eat is going to have an impact on how your body feels, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's just science. Mm-hmm. Why would it not also be science that what you're eating impacts your mental health?
Right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, to me, I'm like, I want to know about all this.
Right.
Because I know how to eat the right way to, like, fix myself.
Right.
The problem is choosing to do that.
That's the problem.
But I don't know much about, like, diet and mental health.
Right.
And how that sort of ties itself together.
Right.
And, excuse me, I just like getting his perspective on things sometimes because it helps me feel less crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I grappling with this and we're dealing with this? And then it's like when you have an expert, and they can kind of, give you a little bit of a boost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good.
We do have him on the phone now, but I'm curious, Holly, have you decided if you're going to go into psychology, like, as the next phase of your life, whenever that is?
I don't know. I'm really sort of stuck. I think what's happening, we have Dr. Upshaw on the phone, but, like, I think my biggest thing is that I need to get my life right.
Mm.
And all of this stuff that we've been talking about for the past few podcasts with my mom and all of that, I think we're very close to getting that sort of aligned. Mm. And then I think I will be more open and ready to start whatever the next chapter is.
Dr. Upshaw, hello. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm doing good. Good morning.
Morning.
So we need to know, how the hell is the food we're putting into our bodies affecting our mental health? Because right now, we are eating our feelings. I think, I was talking to my CrossFit coach who said that somebody he knows, they realized after about 3 weeks that they were eating a bag of Doritos a day.
Oh, wow.
Because they were working from home for the first time. And it's like, you have a few chips here, a few chips there, a few chips there. And then they're like, oh, my God, I've eaten a whole bag in one day.
Yeah.
How is all the stress food we're eating affecting us?
Yeah, so this is actually one of my favorite topics about how nutrition affects mental health. And it's not just as straightforward as you think about, oh, you know, if I eat junk food, that affects my health. That's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. There's been a ton of studies on, you know, processed food, sugar, things like that affecting mood. You know, you can have crashes throughout the day. It can lead to anxiety. Now, the studies aren't quite as clear with hyperactivity with children, but there's some studies there. But the biggest thing for us in our practice is there's all of these micronutrients and vitamin levels that you can check. And if you're deficient on those, a lot of people don't know this, but those are important precursors to forming neurotransmitters like serotonin and norepinephrine that our medications work on and, you know, TMS works on as well. So if you're deficient in one of those micronutrients, trying to get your depression and anxiety better is like fighting with one arm behind your back. You're just not, you're not having the building blocks to synthesize what you need to. So there's a lot of practices these days that are actually getting blood work done on people and checking all these nutrients and then prescribing high dose supplements if you're deficient in something.
Would one of them be vitamin D?
Yes, that's one of them.
Okay, because that's why I take a supplement.
Yeah.
And then this was from my just my general practitioner. And I think it was back in January I saw her, mainly because I was like, hey, I gained a lot of weight. Obviously, there's something wrong. She's like, well, or there's not, and you're just eating a lot. But she said, you know, I had a panel of blood work done, all that whole thing. And she said, and I've had this problem before. I was severely deficient in vitamin D. And I know, having now been the second time that I was told I was deficient in vitamin D by a doctor, that that can directly affect mood, which I was like, oh, hello, depression and anxiety. That's like, why did I not realize before this that they went hand in hand?
Yeah, and it's just a practical thing. It's tough, you know, in busy practices, you know, primary care practices and even psychiatric practices to be able to get this done. Now, in my private practice, we actually have a lab in our office now. So we're doing this on everyone. Mm-hmm. And in NeuroSpa, we're also incorporating this into everyone's workup. And it's just shocking sometimes. Someone will be depressed and they'll come back with like a vitamin D level of like 10. It's supposed to be 30.
Oh.
And there's just no way that, there's no way the person's going to be feeling okay with the vitamin D level like that. Same thing with vitamin B12 is something else we check. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to go out and spend a ton of money on all these supplements if you don't know which ones you need.
Yeah. Right.
It's much better to get, you know, your blood work done, find out if you're deficient in something, you just take that, and then you can get it rechecked. And if you're normal, then you stop taking it or you take a smaller dose.
What are some of the markers that we should be looking into to know that we should get this blood work done? Because maybe I don't go and get blood work done every 6 months or once a year, but if I'm feeling X, Y, Z, then I know that I should. What should we be looking out for?
Yeah, so it's the same kind of things we've been talking about in terms of kind of noticing that you're maybe suffering from anxiety or depression, where, you know, on a daily basis, you're feeling more anxious, your sleep has gotten worse, you're feeling depressed, you don't have energy like you used to. And there's a whole panel of labs that your psychiatrist or primary care doctor should be checking to make sure there's not something really obvious that's fixable that you can just take a supplement for. So that's kind of what we do now. And so some things that are pretty obvious are like your iron levels. If you're anemic, then that can almost present like depression, problems with energy, irritability, problems with concentration, vitamin D, vitamin B12. There's a special type of folate called red blood cell folate. Checking your hormones. So like if you're a man, getting your testosterone checked, you'd be surprised. We try to have levels over 400, but tons of people who suffer from depression have testosterone levels that are a little bit low. So you should get that checked. So there's just a whole panel of things that are really low-hanging fruit is what I tell patients, just something that's really easily fixable that can have a big impact.
Who knew?
Well, that's the problem.
Who knew?
I was like, nobody knew. Well, I mean, I'm sure the doctors, right. Some doctors knew, but right. It's like, I spent my whole life thinking that you've got just like your physical health. And mm-hmm. then as I got older, I was like, oh, well, you got your mental, like your entire body and brain and everything else, your spirit is all connected. And it's like, why are we not treating it like that? Like, right. Why are we treating it like, oh, your mental capacity, your mental health. Well, that's all this by on an island by itself. And right. It's like, why are we just now getting to this point? Yeah. Mm. And I guess it's just what we've talked about in previous podcasts, where it was like there's a stigma about it and all this
and
stuff.
And you can't see it, and so right. You just don't know, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And it makes sense that you would want if you're going to a psychiatrist or something like that, before you just blindly start taking medication, to see what your body makeup is in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been able to get patients off of their medications, or their medications that weren't working before start working better with this. And, you know, it's kind of a practical thing. You know, as doctors, we've always known to check these. But, you know, these are over-the-counter supplements, so they're not prescriptions. So, you know, now that the health industry is to where it is, we have reputable companies making vitamin supplements that we can say to our patients, hey, take this. This is a reputable company. But before, it was kind of like, you know, yeah, you're deficient on this, you should take it. But, you know, you don't really, the market wasn't there necessarily to supply this to people.
I guess it's that we're lucky that we're living now where it's like, oh, these are all open to us and we can all learn about this. So that's wonderful in and of itself.
Now, I'm curious real quick, because I just feel like this is a good reminder for people, because we do have new people coming into the podcast fold every week. You know, I talked earlier about having this pressure cooker feeling that, you know, I just feel like we don't have any end in sight to COVID-19. And now that the school year is about to start back up and there's so much confusion, we have an election that is going to be happening in the fall. And there's just a lot of stuff being thrown at us right now. And we're feeling that pressure cooker feeling. What are some things that we can do to help with that if you're feeling like, I just feel weight on my shoulders right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. There is a lot of stuff going on right now. So, I mean, I think there's two parts to that. The first part is, if you've still got a semblance of kind of a routine that you've kind of always had, you probably want to kind of go back and look and see, what are the things that I know help me to kind of have a clear head, mental health, you know, getting enough sleep. You know, we talked a little bit about, eating right. It's a really tough thing to eat right these days. I mean, there's, you know, 100 documentaries on Netflix that can, you like, no, I'm never going to eat that again. And, you know, it's tough. You have to just find something that works for you. You know, obviously there's some tenets like, you know, eliminating processed foods, a lot of sugar, you know, things like that. But other than that, you have to find something that works for you with diet. But having a healthier diet is important. Exercise, getting outside, trying to make social connections. So if you already have a routine, you know, trying to concentrate on those things, the kind of the building blocks, is going to help you feel better overall. I think sometimes you lose sight of that. You just are trying to kind of fix one thing, but it's kind of going back to the basics of kind of trying to live in a healthy way. Now, there are some people whose routines, and we've talked about this before, have been completely thrown off, and they have a whole different, you know, life that they're living right now,
right.
In which case you kind of have to start over and look for opportunities to do things that are healthy. Like you said, the person who's working from home and didn't realize they're eating a bag of chips a day, you know, you have to really kind of pay attention to what you're doing on a daily basis and try to get some healthy routines built in. And that will have probably the biggest effect overall.
Mm. It's just so interesting to think that when we look back at this time, like, this is going to be the marker where, like, our society changed. And I don't know if it's going to be for the better or not. That remains to be seen. But there's just so much going on right now that we will never be the same after this.
Right.
It's going to be different.
Various capacities. And you know what? It doesn't all have to be bad or all good. There's going to be good things that come out of it.
Right.
And there's probably going to be bad things that come out of it. But in order to sort of stay in that go with the flow area, I think what Dr. Upshaw said is getting your own routine in order, because I'm not very good at that, by the way. I'm And I'm still like really working on boundaries, which are way harder than you think they are.
Right.
And so, you know, you get that under control. It's something that you have to practice every single day. Mm-hmm. Like in my mind, and it's because I'm sort of a perfectionist, I'll be like, okay, well, I did one thing once. Now, what's the next thing?
I'm good.
That's not how it works. Like, mm-hmm. you have to consistently, daily, mm-hmm. sometimes multiple times a day, do the next right thing for you and get into that self-care routine. Otherwise, I mean, I'm super guilty of being like, oh, check that off. I did it. Right. Now I don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, what Miguel is saying is true, though. But I think I had this thought yesterday. I was actually in the grocery store and just thinking about all the stuff that's going on, and you look back at history and you're like, we are living right now in one of those times that people are going to learn about in history class in 20, 30 years from now.
Yeah.
But I had the thought, you know, but hey, here I am still in the grocery store shopping for groceries.
Right.
So I think you can't get too wrapped up in all the big picture stuff. I mean, for the most part, it's still on a daily basis. You're living your life. And right. so there is an opportunity, even though we're in the end times right now, it feels like.
Still got your life to live. Yeah.
Just still have a try to have a normal day, you know?
I think get your
stuff done. So
I think that for me is it, because I legitimately walk or drive around thinking about how our country and world has changed and what the bigger picture looks like and what's the domino effect. How are the oceans reacting to this and the environment?
Okay.
So
maybe you need to just focus more on some of the little things. Yeah. Maybe besides biking and just thinking about things, you need to like actively do something that's going to take up your time.
That is very true.
Okay.
Valid point. Well, Dr. Upshaw, thank you so very much for hopping on with us. How can people contact you if they are curious about your practice or NeuroSpa TMS?
Yeah, so if you're interested in any of the stuff that we talked about today or have any questions, the best way to get in touch with us is to get in touch with NeuroSpa TMS. You can find us at neurospatms.com, and you can call up. And we have very friendly people to answer your questions about any of these things that we're talking about today.
Awesome. Dr. Upshaw, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
So what's happening with the world? How is it all affecting us?
We just said.
I can't stop thinking about it.
That's what I think. Like, maybe you need a different type of hobby.
There's
like
nothing
ones
else to do.
That don't involve you watching like really dramatic yeah. TV shows or listening to really dramatic things on audiobook or taking long bike rides when all you do is think about these dramatic things.
Yeah.
Or also like you got to pry yourself off of like looking at it and constantly being surrounded by it. Cause I see, you know, family members, friends, like either they're always watching the news and it's like, of course you're getting yourself all up in a tizzy. You're watching the news constantly, which is right. filled with a lot of negative stuff. And then I get into the thing where I'm like, I go on Facebook and I notice my mood slowly goes down and down and down. I'm like, and I literally have to tell myself, Scott, like off. And I like, put my phone down. I'm like, that's enough, because it will just drive you down the rabbit hole. And the only person it's affecting you is that. Yeah. In that moment, it's you, because you're the only one looking at it. And so it's like you literally have to be pretty strict with yourself. I'm like, okay, from this time to this time, all right, cool. But like I'm learning right now, I'm like, I'm not going on Facebook, because it's just filled with just a lot of people saying a lot of garbage, and I don't need it in my life right now.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I even this morning when I woke up and after I, you know, realized that the monsters weren't coming from the Gulf of Mexico and that we were going to be okay.
It didn't feel
and
like
the,
it for a second.
And the sirens weren't going off.
Cloverfield wasn't happening?
Yes. And I wasn't like, we need to go to Canada. Oh.
Canada don't want us. Did you? Like, what are you talking about?
Nobody wants
Canada's
us.
Canada's like, you can stay your ass at home, eh?
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. We safe.
Hot ass Justin Trudeau is like, I'm so sorry.
Bye. No. But Holly, we used to have a plan in case of the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
But like now it's all falling apart. Like, where will we go?
Well, the problem is that we were really banking on a zombie apocalypse.
We didn't see a pandemic happening.
No, and we didn't see like, you know, all the stuff that comes along with this that doesn't include zombies.
Yeah.
I don't know where you would go. Where do you think you would go that would be safer?
Aye.
I mean, I always feel like being out in the country is probably the best bet
because
then you can sort of like do your own farming, create your own whatever, set up barriers.
But like that, you're going to need some stuff. Like you can't just plan to go out there and just post up and be like, here's my land.
Right.
Like, do you have carrot seeds to plant carrots or whatever?
I don't know. I need like on The Walking Dead, which I still have like 6 episodes to watch of the last season. That was one of the storylines, was that someone had created a Here's How to Start Civilization book where it had like seeds to different vegetables and plants and whatnot, and that you were to take it and then start civilization over again. And I'm like, I need one of those
books.
How
do you get one of those books?
I don't know. Can you order it on Amazon?
Maybe.
I mean, listen, they got everything else on Amazon. Do they have a Restart the World book?
Yeah, they must.
They probably do.
But I just feel like you're going to have to get that now. Like, if you want to prepare for that, those are those crazy preppers.
Yes.
Like, they will be the only ones here because they will have started already.
See, this is why I always say that, you know, there's a reason why God didn't make me, like, rich growing up or look like Scott growing up because, one, I would have slept around a lot. Two, if I had the money, I would have already built a bunker somewhere and had it stacked with 3 or 4 years of supplies just in case something went down. But I don't have any money, so I can't do that now.
No.
So all I can do is just buy bottles of water from Publix and be like, well, hopefully that'll help.
Oh, man. Get those bottles of water.
I mean, but think about it. Like, what would you do? Like, what would you do right now in this second when we're recording this podcast? If all of a sudden we heard those sirens going off, all of a sudden the emergency broadcast system took over our radio station and the TV station, and we got on Twitter, and then people were like, there is something UFO going on, or there is something zombie.
Or there's what if there's like a military coup
happening?
Or I don't know what. I feel like that's a little bit more realistic than an alien.
What would you do right now in this moment?
I mean, I would get the F up out of here and go home and put my daughter on my chest and be like, okay, well, at least that's one part of the plan.
Check one.
And then do you go to Publix and get some last minute supplies before
Are you even allowed to go to Publix?
I mean, I'm assuming that if like society were to like break down like right now in this second, that there wouldn't be enough time for them to close the door. So you'd have to go real quick.
So you have to like go rampage
but
through
Publix? That's a risk to go in because you're going to go in with people that are mad crazy in that moment. And you might get yourself knocked the F out.
Or shot.
Right. But then think about though how many people don't pay attention. So like I feel like you've got a couple hours to get some supplies for
that's
what
really
you need.
So, okay, so you're one of the people that's going to go get supplies. I don't think I would.
No, I don't think I would either.
Go home.
I'd go home and grab as much as I have at home and then get on the road and just go because...
Where would you drive?
Yeah, where'd you go?
I think in a real life scenario, like my first thing would be like, all right, let me call my parents. What is y'all's plan? Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to go like head up to like Virginia? Because I obviously got to see what my girlfriend's doing. Hey, what are you doing? My thought, because I had this weird discussion earlier, is... I would want to go somewhere like Alaska, where it's just far out and, like, not a lot of people.
Right.
Okay.
That would be my thought of, like, where to drive, because anywhere else, I think, you know, obviously any major city, either drive up that way in either the Midwest or, like, you know, Alaska, or hop on someone's boat and go off into the Gulf or something.
But what are you going to do on a boat long term?
Catch fish. Live because I don't want to be around people, because if I'm around people, you're, like, automatically setting yourself up to pretty much be killed. Especially
or to be robbed.
Or to be robbed and all your stuff that you have. Like that, like I'm very optimistic when it comes to life. But if there was an apocalypse or anything like that, I'd probably just be like, you know what? Whatever, like whatever that means, either getting bit by a zombie or just take me out. Because I just don't see how the next step is actually gonna be able to happen. I feel like it'd be too chaotic where your odds are so far against
you. So you would just give up. You would just give up at the beginning?
I'd give up right in the beginning, but I don't know how realistic it would be that I would survive.
Gotcha.
I don't know how realistic it would be for anybody except for like obviously like the select handful that got lucky. Like it's really like you just won the lotto if you survive because you're gonna you can make it to your destination
and
somebody's there to kill you.
It was really winning the lottery because we saw what happened in Walking Dead.
Right.
I don't know if I want that fate. And it sucks because like Miguel, when you and I would plan this out, We literally had a list. I put on the list we should have several extra pairs of socks
because mm-hmm.
you don't want your feet to get gross while you're mm-hmm. trying to, like, you know. Anyway, I have a kid now.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole
oh, that makes
different
it a lot harder.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Especially what? Florida in the hot sun. If we got to escape and you want to conserve gas so you can't just have the air conditioner blasting in your car because that takes up more gas.
I don't know.
These are things I think
of. I don't
of.
Even know where I would go, though. I think that I would just maybe try to fortify my house.
Mm.
Oh, no, no,
with,
no.
like, boards and
oh.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know where I would go. I don't have a place.
What about, like, your ex-husband? He's, like, Mr. Countryman. Would you try to form a plan with him?
God, I know. And, you know, he's already got some friend that's got some, like, unused office building. And they're going to, like, when, like, I'm not kidding. When the pandemic started, before anybody knew what was going on, he pulled me aside. He's like, what do you know? Like, oh. I'm in the media, like, I know so much more. I mean, technically, sometimes we do. But right. I didn't have, like, you know, secret info.
Right.
He's like, this one buddy of mine, he's got, like, he said it was, like, in a business park or something. And he has, like, this, not a bunker underground, but, like, a thing set up where they have, like, a lot of supplies. And
oh,
he's like,
really?
I'm going to need you to bring Maya there.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. So we're probably not there yet.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think he still got the thing. So I guess maybe... I don't know.
I wonder maybe if, like, a random place is, like, the million storage facilities that we have here Ooh. In Tampa Bay. Like, if one of the climate-controlled ones, if you go hide out there. Because I feel like any apocalyptic movie I've seen, depending upon if it's nature or something supernatural or zombies, that... I love how I put zombies in, like, the real category. I was, like, supernatural and zombies.
And nature.
Right. Yeah. No. Supernatural, including zombies. There's, like, several waves of it. And so I wonder if, like, the first wave, if you're safer to just hide out and fortify your house or hide out in, like, a business or, like, a hotel or Ooh. Somewhere that you can lock it up and be safe and then just sort of wait to see what the next wave. Or is it safer to just get on the road and start going somewhere?
I just feel like people in that moment, like, let's say that siren goes off right now.
Right.
And then you're just going to have people that are just become scavengers. And
yeah,
if they
people
see
are
your
crazy.
House, yeah, they're going to go anywhere they can to survive. And if that is your house, they're going to break it down and get whatever you have. And so I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that. And also, another reason why I wouldn't really want to last long, because that sounds, like, terrifying. Like, talk about, like, your basic anxiety now.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine every day you're having to wonder, like, am I about to get eaten?
Oh, yeah. That's always on your mind.
That's terrifying. I don't know if that's a life I want to live in. Like,
But then I think about, like, how do you take a shower?
You ain't gonna, like, take no showers.
No, and then, you know my picky ass, I have to all of a sudden eat food I don't like.
You better eat some tuna.
I'm about to say, as much as I would like to think that I would last, I feel like I'd probably be the first one dead. Like, I would
yeah,
be the first one.
I would
one.
Probably be camped out and, like, with, like, my armpit hairs all grown out, like, braiding them.
Yeah.
I've, like, become the shaman of, like, a new tribe, and you all are dead. And, like, Maya's, like, some kind of child prodigy, and she's,
Warlord.
Like, a leader. Yes. Like, she, like, cutting, like, whacking people's kneecaps and stuff.
Oh,
I think I might be okay, weirdly. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well,
I say we'll see. Like, it's going to
I know. Like, well, hopefully.
No, no.
If the alarms don't start going off.
I swear. No, that was very scary this morning when the power just flickered and flickered and flickered.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Hold on, I have something coming for y'all.
Oh, I can't do it.
Wait, I hope this is it.
Oh.
No, okay.
Oh.
Is that funny?
That's it. It's happening.
That makes weird chills go down my spine. I don't like it.
Oh, can you imagine if all of a sudden we had that siren and we've never heard it before?
Nope.
And then
nope.
all the screens, never mind.
All right, anyway, Miguel Fuller.
Oh, great.
MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and Facebook. Make sure if you want a Miguel and Holly sticker, you can always send me an email with your full name and your address, Miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review and a rating and subscribe. And you can listen on Spotify and the Hot 101.5 app. Bye.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.